1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. Hunter Biden faces up to 25 years in prison after his conviction on federal weapons charges. But legal experts say that isn't likely to be the case, that the president's son will see any time behind bars.
It's going to be interesting to see whether the special counsel even asks for any prison time. When you listen to his press conference and you read between the lines, it sounded like he may not even ask for prison time. That'll be a critical question, is what does he decide to request from the judge?
ABC's chief legal analyst, Dan Abrams. The House will vote tomorrow whether to hold Attorney General Merrick Garland in contempt of Congress. Police in Atlanta responded today to two shootings. One on a hijacked bus left one person dead. Another left four people shot and wounded at a downtown shopping center. Officers made arrests in both cases. The Southern Baptist Conventions voted to expel a Virginia church which believes women can serve as pastors. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, wgbw.fm.
Do you know or work with kids who have special healthcare needs? Help them live their best lives.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's time for the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here. Today on the big program, lots to get to, lots to talk about. Oh, what a weekend in Las Vegas. Going to talk a little bit about Trump's craziness there. But today had an opportunity to reach out to our friends in the Machinists. They invited me to come to their Pennsylvania State Council Machinist Convention. In York, had a great time talking to machinists about, you know, look, this election, this is a big deal. I think it's hitting home that this is that crossroads that we've been talking about. This is the decision time. Do we follow a path where, you know, much like our grandparents' generation, that working people get a fair shot, that working people have the ability to have some say in their government, that working people actually get ahead? You know, I grew up believing in that work hard, get ahead thing, play by the rules, work hard, do better. And I think a lot of people, especially my age, believe that as well. And I hope that we're starting to see some people remember what 4 years of Donald Trump was. Remember what the conditions were, what the different agencies did. It was interesting as I was listening to speakers before me, you know, talking about laying out Trump's record, saying, look, outside of the fact that these aren't normal times, that Donald Trump is not a normal candidate, that, or I hope this isn't the new normal. This was his record. This is what he did to working people. This is what he did to us. And, you know, a lot of the stuff I'd forgotten, you know. And look, that's why you always listen to lawyers, because they lay things out in very logical terms. But it's easy to forget. You know, which is why the Republicans were, for a very short period of time, right around Katie Bliss's response to the State of the Union, going, well, are you better off than you were 4 years ago? And when some of us remembered, yeah, we are better off than we were 4 years ago. 4 years ago was a nightmare. 4 years ago was bad. This is what bad leadership gets us. This is what, you know, failed leadership gets us. So, of course, I remember. And I don't want to do it again. And this is where I think, you know, as I say, we're at a crossroads. Because one of the things that Trump talked about over the weekend was, you know, again, he's given this speech about, you know, it's about windmills and about EVs and about sharks and electrocution. It's this whole blathering of, would you rather die by electrocution or being eaten by sharks? And I'm not quite sure the point of it. And I don't think anyone in the crowd was either in any of the multiple times he's told this, but they cheered because, and this is the weird part of where we are. There are a segment of our population, you know, the red hat folks, who no matter what Donald Trump says, that's the new reality. That's the God's honest truth. And it's interesting, you know, watching my Facebook feed with all the people who are now comparing him to Jesus. And you go, really? And the answer is yeah, because the new reality of the alternative facts folks. Remember the first time you heard alternative facts? It was funny, wasn't it? You laughed. You go, what? Now we've internalized this. Now it is, we can have alternative realities. We can have yours and mine and theirs and others. And you go, no, there's a set of facts. There's a set of realities. How is it we've gotten to where we are now, where go back and look at Trump's term. Every other week was infrastructure week. And the weeks when it wasn't infrastructure week, it was manufacturing week. And yet he did nothing on infrastructure, did nothing on reshoring manufacturing, basically did nothing for working people. Now you go, but Rick, my 401k. Yeah, he did well for Wall Street. Wall Street was happy. We gave them enormous sums of money with that tax cut that he gave away. But did it trickle down to average everyday working people? A touch. I got a little bit, but it's going to go away soon. Those tax cuts for rich people, those stay. And I was listening to a clip of Warren Buffett the other day. He goes, look, you know, we wrote a check, you know, to the IRS for, you know, some enormous sum of money, you know, billions of dollars. He said, look, if the 800 biggest companies in this country paid their taxes, nobody else would have to. If the 800 biggest companies wrote the check like we did, there wouldn't be a need to tax low-wage workers, for instance. And I've been saying for a very long time, I agree with the Tea Party people. American workers are taxed enough already. Corporate America should be paying the freight. But I know, but Rick, you know, workers pay that. Not as much. We have created a billionaire class second to none, and we've done that through our tax code. Because the more that they get to keep, the more they're going to want to hoard. So they set up an entire system based on how do we get more. So all the consolidation we see, all of the hedge funds and the vulture capitalists and all of these folks who come up with these gimmicks and these schemes to buy up all the rental properties, to control major industries with two or three companies, and then manufacturers suggested retail price. MSRP was always interesting to me because it sounds like collusion. We suggest you charge this, so that we can make profit and you can too, and we can fleece the consumer. Now you go, but Rick, you know, that's our capitalist system. No, not so much. You know, the capitalist system that most of us want to believe in is the one that happened from FDR to LBJ, where there are guardrails on capitalism, where labor unions were strong enough to stand up and to compete, where they mobilized workers to vote out bad politicians on both sides of the equation, where you actually had pro-worker Republicans at one point. Not overly pro-union, but they weren't overtly hostile like they are now. The reality, it's easy to forget what happened 4 years ago. It's easy to forget all of the attacks on working people when you're inundated constantly with how bad Joe Biden is. And as I've said before, the reality for me is this guy is moving an agenda that I think is going to move us in the right direction. Starting to reshore manufacturing is a huge component. You think of the last, 25 years, the number of jobs that were lost because of quote unquote free trade, the families that were broken, the communities that were broken, the lives lost, the fact that we're actually talking about an industrial policy, bringing those jobs back, is a big freaking deal and should be rewarded. Now, is it shocking to me that Biden's approval ratings are going down while he's doing a little bit better in the polls? Am I surprised? Not really. Because our media structure, our corporate media, is all about what corporate America wants. First, they want to make more money, so they got to make this race a horse race. In any normal moment in the history of this republic, there wouldn't be a contest here. Someone convicted of 34 felonies is going to hold the nomination of one of the major parties and actually has a chance of winning. We could have a convicted felon running this country. Let that sink in. Oh, but it was a sham. It was they would have never done. 12 people sat on a jury, heard evidence, heard the defense's response, and decided that he was guilty of 34 felonies. That is our system. And the system is set up that 1,000 free innocent guilty people go free for one man innocent be convicted. And yet here, I'm supposed to believe that this is the one innocent man? No. The evidence was heard. The jury decided. That's our system. Now, he'll get his appeals and we'll go through all this. But ultimately, in the court of public opinion, we're in a really screwy spot. Because you got a billionaire guy out there who's just spewing. If you saw the speech over the weekend, pure nonsense. And he's still competitive. There's something wrong with us. And the question is, how do we turn that around? I think you got to start talking to your friends and neighbors. I think you got to do more of reminding people what 4 years ago, what that looked like. And actually hearing about that things are getting done. Wages are going up, especially for folks at the bottom end of the scale. Jobs are being created, especially in communities that have been left behind. There are so many good things that are going on. We're just not hearing about it because that doesn't sell. That doesn't excite people. That doesn't get people to spend. Misery, anger, that leads. Want to hear your thoughts? Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Quick break, right back.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So over the weekend, Donald Trump was in Las Vegas giving a... I got to tell you, the more I watch his speeches, the more deranged it looks like he's become. In fact, you know, he broke out some of the golden oldies. Would you rather be eaten by sharks or electrocuted? He's told this story a couple times. Still not getting it. But he did stumble onto something that caught my attention. He says, you know, tipped workers shouldn't have to pay taxes. And I don't know where that came from. I don't know why it came out of his mouth. It was real short. Most of the media missed it. And I thought, you know, that's an interesting take. Where's that coming from? Which is why I've reached out to Ted Papa George. He is the secretary treasurer of the Culinary Workers Union, Local 226 in Las Vegas. They represent 60,000 hospitality workers. Ted, thanks for taking time for us.
Great. Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
So of all of the blather and all of the idiocy that came out of the weekend's spiel, this line caught my attention about tipped workers. What was he talking about?
Well, look, it's no secret that we have a high percentage of tip earners here in Las Vegas and in Nevada. But look, the reality is that, you know, this is some kind of last minute pandering here. We've Culinary Union has been fighting for decades against unfair taxation. The issue has been through the courts. You know, tips are considered income, and tip earners here in Nevada and elsewhere that we represent, they're absolutely willing to pay their fair share of taxes. That's not an issue. But we've had fights about unfair taxation, and there's some relief we think that's needed. But you know, Trump was president for 4 years. He did absolutely nothing for Nevada workers and Nevada tip earners. And you know, we get this wild ass promise here from a convicted felon. I think our folks are not stupid. You know, working class people are not stupid. They're smart and they need solutions. They need real solutions. And we're pushing for relief, and we're going to continue to do that like we always have. But the idea that you get some of these promises like that, nobody, I think, is going to take that too seriously.
And you know, I think you hit on it at the beginning. You're saying, look, you know, this is like a last ditch desperation issue, because in his 4 years as president, I don't remember this or many working class issues ever bubbling to the top or ever coming out of his mouth. So my mind was somebody whispered this in his ear, because there was no context. There was no follow-up. There was no, hey, this is how we're going to do it. There was none of that. It was just something he blurted out and then moved on.
Well, look, we represent, you mentioned it, we represent 60,000 workers, about 30% are tip earners. And a lot of folks make their living in Nevada and in Las Vegas earning tips. And there are tip allocation rates that are negotiated, and they've jumped. But we've had real assistance and push. Senator Harry Reid was a champion for tip earners in Las Vegas. But Senator Catherine Cortez Masto, Senator Jackie Rosen have both signed letters to push the IRS to make sure we've got our day, so-called day in court. Congressman Stephen Horsford has sat at the table with us negotiating with the IRS on these tip allocation issues. It's a real issue, but it deserves real consideration, not, again, just wild ass promises thrown out at a rally. The idea that somehow, you know, you're going to take away taxation from tips, that's just pandering. And look, it's kind of a snobbish look at this too, because the idea that working class people are, as I said before, are dumb, they're not. They're smart, and they understand when they see somebody kind of blowing smoke.
You know, as I was going through that clip, and I played it a couple of times, my mind thought, well, I guess CEOs are going to be working for tips then. You know, if they're not taxing it, maybe that's the end game. Because look, I look at a billionaire, I look at someone like Trump, not caring about your members or the people who are working in his hotels or others. I see him as somebody who cares about himself. So I now go, you know, I can see it. All their income, well, instead of capital gains, it'll be tipped income.
Yeah, you notice Trump doesn't talk about that, but these millionaires and billionaires that, you know, literally just aren't paying any taxes. That, look, these tip earners are working class folks here in Nevada. My parents were tip earners. I was a tip earner, worked in the casinos. And, you know, these are working class folks. They make a decent living, and they're not trying to skip out on their taxes. They expect to pay their fair share. Now, the IRS doesn't understand this industry that well. And so we've always had to go back to push back on these allocation rates. But when the idea that somebody would come in and like Trump to throw around this idea that he's just going to eliminate the idea of taxing tips, that's just, nobody believes that. Right. But what we do need is somebody who will go to bat for us. Senator Jackie Rosen has been critical about that. And look, the Democratic administration, we've gotten assistance in this discussion, but you know, you're going up against the IRS. So, we're not rich, so we don't have that advantage.
Now you've said allocation rates a couple times. Explain what that means.
Well, what happens is that for over, I'd say close to 30 years, there's been an agreement that the IRS, along with the casino industry, agrees based on revenues or actual tips that are on credit cards, et cetera, that are tracked. What is an hourly tip, an hourly allocation? In other words, what is a agreed upon average hourly rate that is reasonable and representative of the tips that you make? Because if you work swing shift or graveyard or day shift, if you work in a front bar or you work in a service bar or you work in a gourmet restaurant or you work in a coffee shop, it's everything is completely different. There's no such thing or any way to have a certain rate, one rate for everybody. And the negotiation, which was, again, was led by Senator Harry Reid and the Culinary Workers Union, was that we agreed with the IRS to come up with rates. And if we agree to pay tips, taxes on those rates, then it's essentially audit insurance. And we wouldn't get audited for that issue. Now, what's happened is that as, you know, if the company shows increased revenue or tip rates go up, then the IRS has increased them. And we went back to the IRS over the past few years. We got 60% reduction in our tip allocation here, negotiated by the union with the IRS and the companies during the pandemic, because, you know, people got hammered. And now that business is back, we think that there's they've taken a too big of an increase, kind of just pendulum swung the other way.
Right.
And so we spent time negotiating. Congressman Horsford, again, was extremely helpful. But those rates, we just negotiated language in our contracts for transparency from the companies that they have to show us and a confidential tip committee of workers.
your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Maybe a storm through early evening, otherwise mostly clear and a low in the mid-50s tonight. Partly sunny for tomorrow, evening storms possible, some could be strong with damaging wind gusts and large hail. A high to the mid-80s. Thursday, just a slight storm chance and a high near 85. Currently at 62 degrees.
If you need bold banners to boost your business, but you're on a budget, think Staples. Because now at Staples, you can save up to $50 on your print purchase. From posters and flyers to signs and menus, Staples can print anything you need to move your business forward. And with Staples Print Perfect Guarantee, it's done right or it's printed again free. Plus, same-day service is available on hundreds of items if you order by noon. Get it printed right at Staples. And now get up to $50 off your print purchase. And 7-6, visit Staples. Staples.com/print for details.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So go back to the beginning. The question, electrocution or shark bite? Evidently, this is the big political question of the day. Thank you, Donald Trump, for bringing this extremely important your situation to light, because evidently, as it's been explained to me, Trump is worried that batteries are going to be put on boats. Boats are going to be heavy. They're going to sink. And then you're going to have to make the choice. Do you grab both terminals and hope for electrocution? Or do you let the shark eat you? Now, the weird thing is, and I don't know that he knows this, but most boats have batteries on them. They're there already. Unless you're paddling. So this idea that something new is coming, kind of frightening. And as I've been saying, look, I see us in a 1980s kind of moment. This is 1980 all over again. Carter comes in, puts solar panels on the White House, says, hey, we're going to move off the dirty stuff. Reagan comes in, rips them off, going back to oil. Trump's telling us what he's going to do. And here to share some thoughts on maybe what that's going to look like and maybe why it's a bad idea, I've asked our good friend Scott Paul to come talk with us. He's the president of the Alliance for American Manufacturing, AmericanManufacturing.org, the website. Scott, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, Rick, it's great to be with you.
So, electric shock or shark? Where do you come down on this extremely important question?
You know, it makes me nostalgic for the days, you know, with both Democratic and Republican administrations when you could disagree with them, but at least it was a fact-based conversation. Mostly, you just had a difference of perspective on this. I mean, some of this stuff makes your jaw drop, right? I mean, first of all, there's lots of heavy stuff on boats already, all right? You know, and there's batteries on boats already. And so the idea that somehow, you know, scaling up battery production is going to cause boats to sink and then people to have a choice between either electrocution or getting a shark bite is hysterical and would be really funny were it not coming from someone who is the nominee of a major party for president of the United States. So, and it reminds me just of the stuff that gets spread around on social media or Facebook about, did you hear this story? Did you hear that story? That has no basis in fact. I just saw something from my hometown where someone was claiming that all the solar panel farms and all the wind turbines going up were creating a magnetic field that was attracting more tornadoes. On what science that is based, I'm not entirely sure.
That makes no sense. Now, I've heard people say, again, much in the same circles that you're in, that the traffic circles that they're putting all over the place, that's what's causing the tornadoes, because we're driving around really fast in circles and we're whipping them up.
Oh, man. If that were the case, England would have a lot of tornadoes because there's nothing but traffic circles there in some towns. And my sense is that they have very few at all. So let's debunk that once and for all. But I think the larger point is that, Trump and